Hi, welcome to Gridwalk with two hosts that are a little grumpy about the current state of Formula One.
Recording from New York and Los Angeles, your hosts, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein, are lined up on the grid for this week's Gridwalk. Engines are fired up, ready to broadcast to you every Thursday on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and more. Subscribe, like the video, turn on auto downloads, and leave a review to provide us with a fresh set of tires. Today, Gridwalk will take pit stops at...
And guess how we're going to start the show today? We're going to talk about all the things Christian Horner and the FIA and everything that's going on that we know you all are hearing about because they're the biggest stories and headlines in F1 right now. Yay. Yes, we're grumpy about this. I think you, person watching this, you know, us, like, we have an open relationship with you. We communicate with our mental state and how we're feeling. So we're a little grumpy today. So we're going to get the grumpy stuff out of the way early on. Disclaimer, we say every single time, there are time codes in the description. If you need to protect your mental health or your well-being in any way, please, please, please use the time codes and skip ahead. Because after talking about the dumpster fire that is everything going on in F1, we're going to talk about a different dumpster fire, and that is Alpine. Because Alpine is a mess! They had all their technical leadership leave, they probably are the slowest team. So, F1 truly is a circus sometimes in a fun way, and we're going to look at Alpine for that this week. Then after that, we did have our first race weekend, which means we had our first batch of race weekend polls. So just a reminder to follow us at Gridwalk Show, because every race weekend after the race weekend, we put up polls. So you get to tell us how you're feeling about the big news and the big things that happened over the race weekend. So we're going to review what you think and tell you where we disagree and agree with you. There's so much going on in F1 that you are very likely to have missed some of the really exciting pop culture stuff that did happen this weekend. So Nicole is bringing you a first race weekend gossip grid roundup that features everything from who was on the grid to all the magazine shoots the drivers did and so much more. After that, we did get an announcement this week that McDonald's is sponsoring F1. And if you listen to any of our season preview, you'll know that this is something we actually said we really wanted to happen. So we're just going to be excited about a new sponsor because we can be, and we need some happiness in this week's episode. And I promise you that is going to be the segment for that happiness. Then we're going to turn our attention to the fact that there is a race weekend again this weekend. It's the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix, and F1 Academy is starting. We did do an entire preview episode for the entire season of F1 Academy. It released this past Monday, so if you haven't checked that out yet, go check it out. It's wherever you're listening or watching this podcast, it's there. So go watch it. But we're also going to give you a little crash course, like rapid fire in this episode, give you a little taster of that other episode. And then we're going to recap our predictions from last week's race and give you our predictions for this week's race. Take it away, voiceover man.
It's lights out and away we go on this week's Gridwalk.
Everything is awful. Everything is awful when they release news like this constantly all the time or handle anything like this. That's really just, this is so bad.
I think there is now so much going on, and quite frankly, so much of it is, it really just feels like everyone's slinging feces at each other. But I would like to start this segment with a general reminder to the entire F1 space that no matter what is going on and who is saying what, Christian Horner is never and not the victim in anything that's going on here. Guess what? Bad things he did were leaked to the press. You know who's not a victim in the person who did the bad things?
Person who did the not good things. Not a good person.
There are so many people that could be the victim in this case, and none of them are Christian Horner.
Yeah, I have no ounce of sympathy or sadness. I just get an ick. I'm just so nauseous over this. I'm like, I didn't think I could start to feel worse about it, but I guess after a full race weekend of it just be like, okay, still here. This is all still happening. I felt like I was getting PR like shoved down my throat, and
his poor wife.
Yeah, I don't even know how to like touch that, get into that, but everything seemed so very like fabricated. And it just felt like one thing after another of another headline or another quote or another leak this or another that. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I just want to watch cars do the car thing. And I don't want all of this other
bullshit. Like,
I feel like we have reached a boiling point that has been building since, at the bare minimum, early 2021. This has never felt more to me like a bunch of rich entitled men who made a bunch of deals in the back room who are now have given up covering for each other.
Like everyone's like, over it and just like, all right, well now actually this benefits me, or actually this benefits me, or actually this, that, whatever. And there's just like whistleblowers everywhere apparently. So it's
and
like,
thank goodness. Like, right. Can we get some more? Like, I want to be very clear that the part of this that I'm over is that we have someone who very clearly sexually harassed an employee who is still in their job. Get him the F out of his job in this sport. He should, like, we will continue to say that Christian Horner should not be in his job anymore. He should not be a face of this sport anymore. It is a giant black stain on the sport. It makes me not want to watch it.
Yeah.
That aside, the whistleblowing about the cheating and the FIA allegedly doing lots of really bad things, none of that, A, surprises me, and B, please keep doing that. If that's all we had to talk about here, I would be over here grabbing my Into the Wild gear, and I would be like, let's
talk about the FIA doing shockingly something that wouldn't be shocking at all. The headlines this week have been like, just this could be like a season of Drive to Survive, like just in the last week alone.
Drive to Survive fabricates storylines, but no, the sport just is this dramatic and has always been this dramatic and this seedy. And like,
and probably neither of these stories will be on Drive to Survive season 7, which will just, you know, really be interesting. But to your point of back to it, felt like a lot of this has been like building since like 2021. And you can kind of like see that in terms of like Red Bull growth and also just like FIA. Like everything seems like it could all be like stemming from the same place. Like the pot was just like boiling over like everywhere.
And to me, Mohammed bin Salam, who is the president of the FIA, showed his hand this week as he tried to go around the paddock rallying support for Christian Horner.
Yeah.
and that is facts. Like, there's so much going on that's like alleged. We don't know. Reckless speculation time. But like, what is fact is that the president of the FIA was rallying support for the man who sexually harassed a woman in the workplace. And I think that you and I always talk, particularly behind the scenes, about, like, the math isn't mathing.
Yeah, no, there's definitely
us. Executive producer?
Yeah, we got another executive producer, Harper, over there, and she may have some vocalize about this. So if you hear any loud barking, it's actually not us, or tippy tappies, also not us. I firmly believe in karma and things. It's no surprise, but you know, it feels like this whistleblower maybe could have been influenced by all the shenanigans of this past week. And it was like, all right, MBS, like it's time to like blow up your spot and let's, you know, talk about Aston Martin penalties or Vegas track things and like just whatever we can to kind of like get him out, because like there's just more and more things that keep getting revealed. Wouldn't be surprised, because you can't be like, you know, vocalizing support like that constantly of someone that just did something like so horrendous and then not think that that's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
If someone is sitting there like, I don't understand why you're so frustrated with everything going on, like as a woman having watched the FIA investigate Susie Wolf based on reckless speculation and made up rumors from some random misogynistic man, but then watch that same organization go around and campaign in support of a man who very clearly did something very wrong to make a woman feel uncomfortable. It's like, there we go. That's like, it could not be more blatant. And like,
let's investigate Susie Wolf. Let's make sure that Lewis can't wear a nose ring. These are all things that are really going to affect the outcome of the sport and not the sexual harassment that's going on within teams, right? We need to stop the nose rings and we need to stop women. I don't know. Like, I can't
figure out. It's so important. Like, the amount of times that the FIA have thrown around the phrase role model in relation to Lewis Hamilton, who is one of the most incredible role models I have ever seen in a position of power. But then, like, oh, like, it's not important for, like, one of the five faces of your sport to, like, not harass. Like, it is so blatantly obvious. And this is also coming from a man who we've seen many, many quotes go around about how he just doesn't respect women. So, like, is it surprising? No. Am I done and fed up with it? Yes. Like, this is not, my dog is literally eating my chair right now. Just to break up some of the seriousness of what's going on. I have a little, like, footrest at the bottom of my stool, and she is chewing
snack
on it.
Snack time, on. Snack time for Harper. Munch, 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 munch.
Say hello.
Munch, munch, munch. Harper, Harper.
Oh, no, she stopped as soon as I put the mic down.
She's like, I am an executive producer. I don't speak.
Want to say hi to the crowd?
Observe.
Yeah. Okay. Since, you know, it brings some levity. It's preventing her being here is preventing me from just screaming my head off. But the whole thing just makes me sad and frustrated. Also, as someone who, like, look, I enjoy the sport enough that we do a weekly podcast about this sport. Like, I want to watch cars go vroom. I don't want to be spending the beginning of the season talking about this. Like, this is not fun. Like, you started this with, I just want to watch the cars. I want the cars to do the car thing. I want the race car drivers to drive fast. I want to watch cars do cars. And so we are well beyond the point of this not just being a huge distraction. And I don't have a financial investment in this, but it's been fun to watch F1 grow and become a big sport and a big deal and do partnerships and become a big thing. And, you know, I will remind anyone listening to this that F1 has grown and had this growth because they've developed a very young, particularly female fan base. You know, the easiest way to lose that fan base, tell them that you're going to allow sexual abusers to stay in power. That's like a real quick, surefire way to, like, lose interest from women. So, I don't know what else to say.
I know.
Christian Horner's not the victim. If I have to read one more journalist call him the victim, I will be starting to, like, do formal complaints. That's my biggest takeaway, is you male journalist core of F1, like, have some shame.
Step right up, and see the wonders of the traveling motor circus.
Well, I played a sad trumpet, and it didn't play. Oh, now you're frozen.
I tried to play laughing, and it didn't play.
Wow, okay. This is just like Alpine.
So some behind the scenes here is that normally Nicole and I don't talk about who's going to start a segment or how we're going to get into things. And if it's just kind of awkward at the beginning, I just cut out the beginning of a segment. And the fact that we both brain melded there and didn't discuss, but both went to the media board to try to play a sound to represent Alpine.
And then it didn't work. And let's try again. Alpine!
And I went with this. Because what else are we going to do right now?
Holy moly! I didn't think it could get worse! And it is so bad! Power down. Turn Power off. Yeah. I don't know what that cash flow intake did, but not a lot, apparently. I don't know.
You know, when you fire everyone after 9 months or so, it's gonna be a little difficult. Do you remember how they didn't have a team principal since they fired Otmar, and then they just, like, sort of kind of announced it at their launch, and you and I were both like, oh yeah, that's kind of important.
Yeah, someone at Alpine was listening to We Don't Talk About Bruno, like, way too much, because we did not know about Bruno at all until, like, post launch. It's like, by the way, yeah, that's the Bruno. Dude, that's the guy. And
yeah,
now,
so,
like,
in summary, Alpine is the slowest car at race one in Bahrain. They made Haas look good. Stake, Haas, Williams, Red Bull Jr., they all had decent weekends. Alpine, because most of it's because Alpine looked so bad. Their technical director and head of aerodynamics both said, bye, we're not going to be here anymore.
Bye-bye forever, bye.
I mean, I think it's been well documented that the senior Reno group is just horrible at operating an F1 team, and they keep blaming everyone operating the F1 team instead of looking inward. I was wrong. Where I thought their cash injection last season was a sign of them trying to actually invest in the team. But I think it was an early cash out for selling the team.
That's kind of what it's starting to look like now. Yeah. But it's, yeah, really frightening. Just lost whole train of thought there. We joked that, like, the carbon fiber was a message of, like, they're going to be the slowest of slow. Yeah. And part of it was, like, a joke, but, like, now I can only see it as fact. And the grumpiness at the launch, everyone knew exactly what was coming. I don't know kind of now where this... I mean, so much F1 left. But, like, where Alpine is right now and current, like, state of, like, administration-wise, this is going to be a rough one. Oscar has to be, like, thinking every single thing he believes in, like, partying up a storm right now. I can't imagine being Oscar Piastri, like, over the weekend and seeing what was going down and be like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so interesting to look back on the whole Oscar Piastri situation, because in my brain, that was a completely different Alpine at that time. That was an Alpine with Otmar in charge, who was clearly a competent team principal. Allegedly, Otmar had to take the public fall for everything that happened with losing Fernando Alonso and Oscar Piastri. But, like, that, you know, he was the team principal. He had to take the fall. Like, I don't...
Clearly, there were still other issues ongoing Otmar went bye-bye and everything else has just gotten a lot worse. So, like, the fall guy has fallen and left, but things continued to fall. So, like, what else...
It's how many fall guys does Alpine need? Like, when Alpine came back to the grid as Renault, they've had a fall guy every, like, at minimum 15 months on a cycle. It's so sad to me because their technical leadership, like, I said this last week, but it is underreported how much of the cool innovations of this regulation cycle have come from Alpine's technical leadership, even though Alpine hasn't been the one to be able to pull it all together. You'll see other teams across the grid taking things that Dan Hartman's team did. They clearly are jumping ship. Like, oh, if we jump ship now, we'll be able to get another job by early next season for the 2026 regulation cycle. Because next year, no one's developing cars. Tangent aside, it does feel like a when is Alpine going to sell kind of situation now. And my secondary question is, but do they sell to Andretti? Like, did we just solve the Andretti issue now? Because Alpine's going to be like, peace out.
Yeah. I mean, that just, every time there comes up the question of selling a team, I think it's the logical, like, way in of Andretti. It is, to me, what makes the most sense. It's, again, not creating more slices of the pie of the pizza at the birthday party, blah, 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 that whole fun analogy that we like to go through. It's a good way in. I would be intrigued to see, like, there was so much press of, like, big name investors and XYZ, whatever. I don't know if you ever really see news about big investors leaving something unless they're, you know, the major pinpoint investor and then they, like, sell majority share. Like, I don't know if we're going to start seeing headlines of Ryan Reynolds shares Alpine investment, you know, like.
Well, I wonder if they all bought into this under the, like, they had the assumption. Like, obviously, they're not buying into it with Alpine saying, or Renault saying, we're going to sell the team. But I wonder if all these big investors was like, hey, we're going to make a ploy because I think we could cash out very quickly. Mm-hmm. Worst, we have stock in an F1 team. At best, someone buys that stock very soon.
And then,
Yeah. And trigger warning, back to the prior conversation. Like, of all the time for Renault to probably be looking for a sale, like, F1 could not be less valuable right now. not only do we have insane dominance on track, but on top of that, we have a media tire storm of everything from cheating to sexual assault. Like, no, this is like the Renault Group, if they really have been planning on selling for a while, even though I don't believe the Renault Group has plans for anything based on how they operate in F1, but this is, you know, they're sitting there. The only reason I have to think that maybe it will take a while for it to sell or for them to decide to sell is just that this feels like, if you're looking at the last 5 years, the absolute worst time to sell a team.
Yeah. I mean, last year when this, I can't remember if it was at the Ryan Reynolds investment point or if it was at the Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes and like XYZ other athletes investing point. But on here, we talked about how that whatever cash investment was being put into Alpine put Alpine's monetary like evaluation at like $900 million, like just mm-hmm. under a billion. So now it'd be a very interesting conversation to be
does anyone
you know, looking
wanna
at
buy
does anyone
into-
want to spend $900 million on an F1 team right now, ignoring their performance in Bahrain.
Every race weekend, after that race weekend, on our Instagram stories, we put up polls to get all of your thoughts and feelings about said race weekend. So then we can come and react to your thoughts and feelings about that. So make sure you follow us at Gridwalk Show everywhere, but particularly on Instagram, if you want to make your voice heard and tell us your thoughts and feelings about things. So there was stuff that happened this race weekend, starting with, oh, there were some close calls between the Ferrari boys. So my first poll of the race weekend was, when will Leclerc and Sainz crash into each other? And the options were by race 5, before summer break, after summer break, or never, not once this season will they crash into each other.
Optimistically, I guess optimistically, because I don't want anyone to crash, I said by summer break, because I think it will happen, but I gave them a little bit of time.
So I don't think it will happen because it's malicious. Like, I don't think this is going to be...
Oh, like on purpose. No, I do not think that.
I just think they're going to race each other hard and inevitably something's going to happen. So I agree with the majority here, which is that 43% of people who participated in the poll think before summer break, sometime in the first half of the season, this is going to come to a head.
Yeah, it's more 29... like their competitive edge, like in racing, like because they're both going to want to like push to the limit and not like cut out.
Give up.
So that's right. Not, I don't think either of them is going right. to purposefully turn into the other.
Yeah. No. Yeah. 29% of people said by race 5, so very early in the season. I do think that would have been my second choice. I think if this is going to happen, it's going to have to be early in the year where it still feels like things are on the line. Versus late in the year when we all just go, Max.
well.
21% said never. And I do think that these are professional race car drivers. I do think Carlos Sainz is auditioning for a role in another team. And it would make a lot of sense to me for him to end up playing it safe. But I thought that before this race, and he definitely did not play it safe.
Yeah, no. I think 20% of my brain could accept them not crashing. But I just think the likelihood of Carlos really, you know, proving, like, trying and attempting to, like, prove himself as a race car driver and them just both being unbelievably competitive F1 drivers, that it's likely to happen this year.
Yeah. Charles, I feel robbed by Charles's car just being so broken this race. And him just braking and not knowing if it's going to break, turning left, might just go right. Who knows what's going to, the car is going to do. Like, it was... Like, so I do feel like it was a good preview for the type of racing we're going to get between the two of them this season. So for that reason, I'm excited. All right, question 2. Can it get worse at Alpine? No way, or it can always get worse?
It can always get worse.
It can always get worse.
Because like 3 months ago, it couldn't. I was thinking maybe it couldn't get worse at Alpine. And now... I know, it can. It can always get worse. For Alpine, it got worse in, like, 24 hours from, like, the race.
No, I feel like every time I see Alpine in a headline, I'm like, oh, it's getting worse. Like, it has to get worse before it gets better, is where I think we are with this. And 85% of people who participated in the poll agree. And to the 15% of you who said, no way it can't get worse at Alpine, let's talk next week. Are you disappointed or shocked by McLaren's performance? And the three options to the polls were: one, yes, they were supposed to compete with Red Bull. Two, yes, I expected them to be P2. Or this is what I expected.
I put a this is what I expected. But I just didn't expect McLaren to be living up to all of their initial hype talk. I mean, they backtracked
whatever
slightly
it takes.
A little, but like, yeah. It did. Whatever it takes is too big of a slogan. No one was going to live up to that right away. So, no, I was like, yeah, this is as expected.
I also said this is what I expected. 54% of people, so the majority of people also felt that way. You and I have also been talking about this since the start of 2024, which was there is absolutely no way that McLaren is going to be the one competing with Red Bull, and like then McLaren walked it back. And I actually exited the race weekend thinking that McLaren performed better than I think even McLaren expected to. But I don't know how much that has to do with the fact that Mercedes didn't perform well, because I don't know why they closed their cooling louvers. But so can't get into that. But I do think it's interesting that if you combine the two yeses, like it is pretty 50-50 that a lot of people thought McLaren were going to be the second fastest team and were definitely disappointed in self to some extent. All right, here's the touchy one. It's getting embarrassing. It's been embarrassing for a while now. How long until Perez is replaced in that second Red Bull seat? Basically, this question can be reframed as, how long until they decide to give us competitive racing for the win? And the answers, the options were, before summer break, before the end of the season, it's not happening.
I'm going with before or by the end of the season. I'm going with like end of the season times. I don't see a mid-season pull for Checo. But I'm going by
end of the season. For my hope in watching this season. But
I mean, I think to anyone who says that it's not going to happen, I think if you look at, you know, what's happening back at Red Bull Junior right now, I mean, you and I were talking about this and you made a really solid point. So I'm stealing it from a off-pod podcast and taking it now of like having Danny Ric in front of Yuki that way. And, you know, with the pace that they both had, that they're trying to make Danny Ric look in the stage of this is how many races he finished in front of Yuki. And whatever stats on paper that can look really good, that if and when they need to make that switchy switcheroo, that sorry, Yuki, not going to go to you, or most likely would be Danny Ric to like go in that seat, at least in my eyes right now. Like they're lining up for like solid data to make their choice make sense for whatever options they have.
I think there are two things that are hanging over this, which is will Red Bull correctly have different leadership by Australia, hopefully by Australia, by race three. So therefore are different people making this decision. And it's so hard for me because Red Bull has made it very clear that they don't want anyone to compete with Max. So I think they love the fact that Checo is just going to bring in some points and it doesn't matter and it's not going to be competitive and I will not get over how bad that is for the sport. And it drives me crazy. But 47% of people agreed with you that it's going to happen before the end of the season. 33% said it's not happening, and 20% said before summer break it's going to happen. For my sanity, the 20%, please be right. And disclaimer, every time we talk about this, I don't want Sergio Perez off the grid. I want someone else in that seat who might be able to compete with Max. That's all I want. I'm here rooting for Max not being 30 seconds ahead of his teammate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Max shouldn't be able to like pull into a drive through, and get a pit stop. You know, like this shouldn't be how this works.
Yeah. And we could make the argument, like I always make the argument, that I don't think Danny Ric will do any better. And I don't think Yuki will do any better. And there's so many drivers on the grid who won't do any better. But I can delude myself for a couple races.
Yeah, because we're on year three of... is not that, gosh, what, race ends 16 seconds in between the two? Like, on new softs? Like why?
Yeah, it's getting embarrassing. Let me rephrase that. It's been embarrassing. Please, for my enjoyment and sanity, replace him. All right, Which back of the grid team impressed you the most this weekend? And we know it's not Alpine, so I didn't include them on the poll. So your option were Stake, Junior, Haas, or Williams. Who impressed you the most this weekend, Nicole?
Huh. I don't fully remember my reply here. So right now, I'm just going to say with who left me with the most fun vibes, and I'm going to say Stake. And that's not really because of just performance, but their energy and presence and existence left me impressed. Because
well, and Joe Guan Yu ended the race P11, which is so much higher than I would expect a Flame Mignon to.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. 25% of the people agreed with you. I'm with the majority here, which is Haas pleasantly surprised me. After I got over the anger of Nico Hülkenberg just deciding to turn into Lance Stroll's rear wing, which wasn't so fun.
That's why I'm shocked you say Haas, literally just because of this instance.
But there were times through testing where I thought that Haas would be so behind the pace that it might have been embarrassing. Like, Haas might, like, save Alpine. It looked so bad. And while I don't think they have top 10 pace, like, Nico seems like he can extract more in qualifying than that car can actually do.
I don't know where he pulls that from, but it's just, like, every week he's just like, hey, guys, I'm still here. And you,
yeah.
Here we go. We're still going.
But it, let me just, like, I think it was just that my expectations were so low that Haas having a race pace and a tire degradation that looked to be similar or on par with Stake, Red Bull Jr., and Williams, to me, like, having them actually in that mix versus, like, oh, they're the slowest team on, in the race by far, that impressed me. I'm like, okay, that's a decent.
I expected the atmosphere to be more Alpine-ish. Haas going into the season, minus Gunther and everything like that. Really thought that was going to have a lot more of a initial, like, front facing impact that we'd be able to see. So definitely more surprised. I think I had, you're right, of having such low expectations of Haas, and then all right, you did okay, and then Alpine doing so bad, and it's like, oh, okay, not last.
Now, of those same four back of the grid teams, again, not named Alpine because it would be an unfair poll. Which of them disappointed you the most?
Williams.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to start seeing, like, I've gone to just feeling so bad about Logan Sargeant that I just, like, want to be able to see, yeah, like, more. Like, I just don't, like, every, like, oh, another angry radio, and, like, if he just can't start, like, producing something in this car that's not, like, finishing last, or, like, I don't know what it is, but there's, I need to start seeing, like, the driving skill there more, and, like, seeing him pull something out of this car. You could tell that it was definitely a frustrating drive for him and for Alex, and that there's definitely more that they need to, like, figure out, and I think, you know, some potential PU issues too. But yeah, I was really hyped about Williams going into the season. And I think that's what you get for doing a really good job on branding and charismatic drivers and, like, making other people interested in your team, that you want them to sit, like, succeed and do well. It was also, you know, not best track for them. So hopefully moving forward, but yeah, poor Williams.
I was so excited that Williams finally got a steering wheel that was from this century. And the fact that the drivers can now turn and still see their screens seems incredible. But yeah, poor Logan. That steering, they actually had to flip out the steering wheel. It failed him so badly. Like, there were so, Williams of all the teams, did you know that this was the first opening race ever where all 20 drivers finished?
Which is baffling to me. Like, that's crazy. I am shocked that this is the first time it's ever happened, but at the same time, I'm shocked that it happened. I mean, we even had, right, like, instances, like you were just saying, with Nico and Lance, and just, like, moments where then it also seemed like when Logan, you know, pulled off, if they were going to have to get marshals to intervene. Wild. Wild that we had none of that.
Someone tweeted this, so this is not a unique thought, but I was like, someone please give F1 an award for doing the absolute bare minimum this weekend. Where, hey, It wasn't exciting, but at least all your drivers finished.
Everyone finished.
Yeah. But Williams, of all the teams on the grid, seem to be the team that has the most genuine reliability concerns right now. They had concerns through testing, so they didn't have a lot of testing mileage. The steering wheel didn't work for Logan.
Car too hot.
Yeah. That was so great.
Car too hot.
I don't know if Williams knows that just because they have a screen we can all see now that they could use codes and stuff like the other teams, but nope, car too hot. It's so human. I am landing on RB Jr. really disappointed me the most. Like there was so much hype coming from the team, coming from Red Bull, coming from press and people doing analysis on the car that, you know, they're going to be competing for points. That's why we both picked them for P10. And I didn't feel at any point in the race like they were a threat for points. I thought, you know, I think there was one point where I made a joke to you about not wanting, like, Yuki, because of pit stop shenanigans, was running in P10. And I was like, no, don't get the points. But, yeah, there was no point this weekend where I was like, oh, that car's fast.
Yeah. They left the conversation as soon as the race started. Like, it was never at any point that we were like, oh, like, the only time that it was like, oh, no, well, you get the 10 points for Yuki. Ah. Like, that was the only time that they really felt like it was conversation, and that's just between us.
Well, the poll results were 36% said RB Jr., tied 36% said Flame Mignon, 21% said Williams, and 7% said Haas. So I think collectively we were all like, whether or not you were impressed by Haas, we were all collectively not disappointed. So managing expectations there.
Way to go, Haas.
Hey, podcast listeners. Gossip Grid here, your guide to F1's paddock elites.
Welcome back to Gossip Grid, where I give you everything that you need to know about F1 and pop culture. And we are back with race news, some like not related to race news. But first, we will take a trip to Bahrain to talk about paddock food. I love talking about paddock fits. First, starting with Joe, he wore Lululemon one day. It was really, it was a great outfit. I would wear it. Okay, then every other day he wore the steak team kit. Now, Lewis Hamilton, and my weekly thank you to Amazing Lou on Instagram that like just immediately has all the information about who and what and where he's wearing anything. So go give them a follow. So first we start with Media Day in this Gucci fit with this mirrored collar that I was just like, wow, this outfit got more beautiful because it just has a bunch of Lewis's reflection all around the entire thing. But fantastic choice to kick off Media Day. Then for free practice, not only did we show up in a really great Tommy Hilfiger outfit, the man switches to overalls. Tommy Hilfiger overalls. We love overalls. Regulate more or like normalize adults wearing overalls because I really want this to become more of a thing and Lewis is spearheading it. For quali, we have a Zania shirt and the Dries Van Noten pants. Love when Lewis goes with any sort of like big flowy outfit that also kind of looks like he could be in some kind of like desert world on Star Wars. I just kind of like always love when he leans into that vibe. But race day. The three Paradise, I used a French brand, I cannot pronounce it. But this bejeweled fit, this red top and the jeans and the jewels. I love when Lewis Hamilton lets himself be bejeweled and makes the whole world shimmer and sparkle. And boy, did he do that on race day. Also in Bahrain, Diplo hung out in the Ferrari garage and they were really excited to have him there. Upcoming for Jeddah, Red Bull Jr. wants you to send them your songs to add to their garage playlist. So if you have any good recommendations, you can send it on over to them. I'm going to send them the Sister Sister theme song and maybe they'll get it. Williams is hosting a sweepstakes for the Miami GP. Let's see if it's better than the McLaren Miami GP sweepstakes. So Williams is offering two tickets to the Williams Racing Paddock Club, two flights, one room at the Biscayne Bay Marriott Hotel, which is far from where you're where the race is, but a beautiful hotel. And that's okay that it's far away because there is private car service. Oh, only to and from the airport, not from your hotel. You will be getting a full Williams Racing team kit bundle for each guest of attendance. You will also be getting a full bundle of an exciting new collection to stay tuned. So Williams already teasing new merch coming, signed team and driver caps, William Racing Garage Tour, and a grid walk, and exclusive access to the Miami Fan Zone. So don't enter because I want to win. I'm just here to let you know that I'm going to win. Ferrari drivers did a video with Ray-Bans where they played Jenga and answered questions that were written on all of the blocks. What a surprise. You put two Ferrari F1 drivers in any sort of game playing competition and they get way too competitive about it. And you could see that the Jenga game goes long for way much longer than anyone at Ray-Bans expected. So you can go watch to see how all of that finishes. The only thing that I will tell you is Carlos Sainz picked dogs over cats, and that's why I love him. Stake F1 Team made a sick comic book cover of Zhou and VB for Bahrain. Vogue wrote another article about F1. This one's called The Next Street Style Capital, the Formula One Paddock. So yeah, duh, street style lives in the paddock. My mouse, okay. Can we also just take a moment while we're talking about news headlines to acknowledge every single headline out there right now that says Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes F1 team is absolutely tanking, or Ryan Reynolds F1 team is failing. What a way to clickbait, and I know what you're doing, and way to be just really dramatic. So just, I guess, shout out to you for getting clicks, but like also kind of lying. Charles and Carlos did a shoot with Esquire Italia. Danny Ric is on the cover of GQ Australia. F1 did get George to recreate his famous meme pose from last year when taking this year's season driver photos. West Ham and Juventus soccer clubs were asking their players who their favorite F1 driver is, and the overwhelming most popular response was Lewis Hamilton. No surprise. And finally, Business Insider did a piece on fangirls taking over the old boys club sport of racing. Sorry, boys, F1 is for the girls now. And that is everything that I have for you this week on Gossip Grid, what you need to know about F1 and pop culture, and we'll catch you next time.
Well, I think that we saw the future, the F1 future, in one particular realm, and it was just with marketing and sponsorships. I can't attest for any of our wish list items. Like we wished for many on-track things that don't seem like they're going to happen. But we really, really wanted something like a McDonald's or a fast food company of some kind to come in and sponsor some part of F1. And it was announced that McDonald's is going to be sponsoring the F1 races in Latin America. And we are hyped.
Get Ronald McDonald on the grid. I want to see him in a grid walk. I got like this. So many cool opportunities. I do definitely foresee this being some sort of like... The expansion of like what Checo already has a deal with, yeah, McDonald's when they go to Mexico. I now believe whatever they can do with like him will be so much bigger. The brand activations. I mean, you're also going into a area like the demographic that is a diehard fan base. Like you're going to places that are some of Mexico, the biggest races, Brazil, on the F1 calendar, and you'll get fans that show up, and it's like a really good, like, it is, what a cool move on McDonald's. I'm actually a little bit surprised. I guess it's probably where they've dabbled, that it was like Latin America where they already have been with F1, but I'm a little surprised that that's kind of like their first, I guess, like committed widespread involvement into F1. It's like, could be like a good little soft launch of like, well, we know that we have, you know, a driver here that we can support in a way that would be well received and whatever reasons, and kind of then like see how this could maybe grow elsewhere. But
normally these giant corporations have marketing arms for each region of the globe. So to your point, I think it's very likely that the Latin America arm of McDonald's has been doing marketing with Checo and it's been working. And they thought a logical next step was to stick the golden arches all around a Formula One track. And it just, I'm excited because that seems like a change of something to look at. Like we've been looking at what just seems to be like the Mick Schumacher cruise line I think there's like three or four sponsors that we see across most racetracks. And they all have very subtle coloring. And McDonald's is anything but subtle. I didn't even think about the prospect of all the kind of activations they could do at those races. That would be so fun. My only sadness about this partnership is that all the races in Latin America are at the end of the season. We're going to have to wait so long to see any of this come to fruition.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I mean, yeah, even over the summer, we would just get some like teasing things with Checo doing some ad work and, you know, a leak of what his face on a McDonald's bag is going to look like and stuff like that. But
I wonder if he'll have special helmets.
Oh my gosh, Checo is going to, I hope it's just like a big French, I hope it's like the French fry container. I want all red and then the French fries. It's red and yellow. You can still, you can still put the ugly Red Bull logo on the helmet and it can still work.
I mean, some of Checo's best ugly Red Bull helmets have been when he's done the Marvel partnerships with the Marvel themed helmets, but yeah, I think like what they can do in partnership with F1, what they can do in partnership with Checo is really cool. But also where this gets me particularly excited is that like we've seen with energy drinks. So I don't think Monster or Celsius would particularly care so much about being in F1 if Red Bull didn't have the foothold in F1. So the idea of McDonald's investing more in F1 could bring in more fast food brands into F1, and fast food brands do fun marketing better than anyone else. So you talk about Ronald McDonald in the pit lane, that would creep me out because Ronald McDonald creeps me out. But
clowns are scary.
Clowns are so scary. I really don't know.
So bring we can do Grimace. You want to like bring back?
I'd rather. Yeah, sure. Oh, that would be. Oh my gosh! Just imagine Max Verstappen having to interact with Grimace.
No, I can't imagine Max Verstappen interacting with any sort of individual in a costume, let alone Grimace from McDonald's.
He was actually seemed to be a really good sport about having to interact with all the Elvises in Vegas. But that aside, like bring in Burger King. No one does Unhinged better than Burger King. Like I want
all of the drivers starting to sing the Whopper, Whopper, Double Whopper, whatever the like. Just like let's get it all, like
BK,
bring them all into a booth.
Have it your way, you rule. But give me fun consumer-based products that I can support and laugh with, and that do fun things already.
Like, make a Checo McFlurry with Kit Kats, and then you're just checking off all of these boxes of sponsorship and partnerships and cool, fun things that you can
Checo
do.
Checo has the best sponsors.
He has like the coolest sponsors, and I mean, rightfully so, given the fan base and the impact that he has, and that's how you get like really sick sponsors. I mean, like. I think he has some of the best ones. I think Lewis has some of the best ones. But, like, you really can see, like, brands are attracted to that. But, yeah, Checo has some, like, rock star golden sponsors in his back pocket. And that's why, I, like, more reasons that I don't want him leaving the grid. Because I think there's such, like, awesome potential there. So I would love to see more activations and things happen with that. F1 Academy officially kicks off their season this week.
Woo!
In Jeddah. We did incredibly in-depth like kickoff bonus episode specifically for F1 Academy, where we talk about all of the drivers on the grid. We give you some of the highlights, some really fun facts on and off track about their careers. We give you also a little bit of an overview of the series, what updates, you know, have recently been made, and just kind of like our insights of what we think would make the series a success. feeder series, aka feed into other series. So definitely go check that out if you haven't already, but we will be continuing to support F1 Academy in our regular episodes, but we were just really, really hyped about the kickoff of the season. So we wanted to do some extra jazzy, fun F1 Academy content.
We'll link it below. We'll put it in the cards. If you're watching on YouTube, like, please, please, please go check it out and support the series. I will also tease that in there, we do our first draft. So instead of doing predictions, Nicole and I get to draft drivers, and whatever points they get, we get. And we've seen some people have also already sent us their drafted drivers to total points. So go head over there before the race weekend starts, and you know, there's your little tease. See who we drafted and who we think is going to do the best in race one. Hi, executive producer.
Oh, the Harper. Look at her big tail. Oh, Harper.
Come here.
Harper, come say hi. Up. Harper.
She's like, I'm not normally allowed to stand on you like that. What are
I know.
You
Harper's
doing?
Like, I can't do this. You have notes, Harper? Yes, I have notes that I need Brianna to be done so that I can play and get pets.
Yeah. Okay. You're kind of now sitting where I need to sit. Okay.
She's like, I'm confused. You told me to be here.
Well, you didn't. You come up. So the thing about this executive producer is she's about 7 of your executive producer. So she doesn't do well. She can't really get
she
up on my
just
lap.
She can't fling herself onto your lap. Oh, the big baby.
I got you. Hi. Hi.
Yeah, for our listeners, our dogs are of opposite size. Harper could
this is
definitely pick up Parker and like fling him across the room and he'd let her. Like,
yeah, this is my 100-pound chocolate lab who is a lap dog, but doesn't really love that my stool rolls. So
that's scary.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, she's leaning against my leg. It's like that was dramatic.
All right. Well, let's do predictions. Let's keep.
Okay.
Can we
start over?
Yes.
All right. I am off to a commanding 3-2 lead after week one, which I'll take. I'll take a 1-point lead after week one.
I'll take only losing by one right now.
We were both correct that Max Verstappen got pole, but I will say that it did seem closer than I predicted and you predicted. And then, honestly, the difference between me getting this extra point versus you is that I put Checo P2 and Charles P3 and you had them reversed.
Slipped.
Yeah. But we were both correct that Ferrari was going to score the most non-Red Bull points. So I think we had a decent pulse on what the first race was going to be. Don't expect that to continue moving forward.
I know. I already feel a little bit... I mean, I felt iffy about my choices last week because I felt like I had nothing to go off of. But now I felt like my brain could have gone in 2 different directions going into this weekend. I mean, a million, but particularly I was set on 2. And I will see if this is right. It's what I believe.
I think it's very interesting because the first 4 races of the season are 4 very different tracks. So we have Bahrain, which we all just saw. And then we have Saudi Arabia this weekend, which is like a street circuit-esque with like really long straights and tight walls. And then we're going to Australia, which I just describe it as meh. That's how I describe that track. And then we go to Japan. So there's like 4 very, very different tracks. And just in time for us to figure out exactly what's going on for it all to just be thrown up in the air. But I don't think just because XYZ happened in Bahrain this weekend, that's a given for this weekend. Like, we got it right last weekend. I don't know what was this weekend.
Yeah.
It is time for Gridwalk to attempt to predict an F1 race result with 0 on-track data. This will definitely go well. Gridwalk's race weekend predictions.
All right, it is now time, as VoiceOver Man said, for us to make our predictions with 0 on-track data, because even though when you're seeing this, you'll have practice data, we don't while recording this. So,
but all right, you can very much start us off. Who do you have on pole this weekend?
Max Verstappen. Until Max doesn't get pole, I will probably continue to pick Max for pole.
I what also have Max for pole.
I've all right, but here's what
that's the one thing that I feel like I've seen enough of, at least going into this race, for what's likely, but you have a good point of until somebody else does it.
Yeah. I mean, Max had a crazy toe from Oscar Piastri for his lap, so I don't know if on one lap pace, Red Bull is that far ahead. But again, until I see it, I'm waiting. But I think the rest of our picks are a little less certain. So we're moving on to race day. Who do you have for P2 in the race?
I have Checo at P2 this week.
think the Red Bull is too fast. And I also just stuck with Checo in my P2.
Oh, no.
I mean, this,
we don't share our predictions before, so we're always like,
I wanted to pick someone else, and I think many times this season we will pick something else, because Sergio Perez did absolutely nothing to make me feel good about the fact that he can drive this car fast, but it just seems like the RB20 is so much faster than everything else that Checo can drive it not very well and still comfortably be P2, at least when the Mercedes and Charles Leclerc's Ferrari are broken. So, yeah.
Coming out of this week, at least it seems like there's enough comfortable space and pace for this one, too.
All right, P3?
P3, who do you have for P3?
I have Charles Leclerc. I think he would have been P3 if his car didn't break. That's nothing against Carlos Sainz. It's just that he normally, on the measure over a season, is the faster driver, and that car was so broken. It also seems like, I can't believe we're at this state in an F1 season where, of all the other teams, Ferrari seems the most stable. So it just feels the most comfortable to bet on a Ferrari driver as the podium. But who do you have in your P3?
Well, I might have had Charles, but I'm making a different change right now for the sake of competition, because I don't want us to have the same exact podium, but I was also feeling really like the same place of, oh God, Charles with some work and breaks could be pretty great. But I'm going to still stick with Ferrari, and I'm going to go, I guess, with a podium three-peat here, two-peat of this week. I'm going to pick Carlos. Ferrari, I just, you know, they've seen some growth with their tire deck, and like, here is the good track to like kind of know what you're doing with it. So I'm just kind of feeling good about either Charles or Carlos. But for now, going with smooth operator, I guess.
I'm glad you changed so we have something to compete on. I think it's just, I do feel like some of this is this early season, like, oh, we don't really know what's going on. There's so few things we know. So I feel weird making like a based on the information we have, I feel bad about making a bold prediction for a different car being in P3.
Yeah. I think the boldest thing that I could potentially maybe like make to claim right now is that maybe we could see something happen from McLaren this weekend, but like, I don't feel comfortable enough of like putting that on like my podium. Maybe I'll throw in a week if you see Lando or Oscar in a P3 position, I'm gonna really be so mad at myself. But I mean, this is a track where it could be a good like perfect storm for McLaren if they like, you know, do figure it out right and they are able to maintain their pace. But until then, I'm sticking with a red car, I guess.
Well, before we move to P10, let's take a pit stop at highest scoring team that is not named Red Bull, because mine is Ferrari.
Mine is also Ferrari. Yeah, Ferrari. That's what I'm going
for. For all the reasons we just said. Like, right now I feel the most confident in them, which is crazy.
It's real insane to say, for sure.
All right. I hope we differ this week.
This will be very interesting if we have different. Okay, so my P10 is Lance Stroll.
So basically, Nicole, you just looked at the race results last week and just went.
I didn't do it on purpose. I did have Charles here first. This one I did just try to do some. I was really struggling this week. I did car math. I did the car math. Yeah. I ranked my five teams. I times by two.
I know so many people don't watch Lance Stroll's races, but it honestly, for me, was the most enjoyable part of the Bahrain GP was watching poor Lance have to drive through the entire field. It was so much fun. This is why I support everyone should have a driver on a team that is competing for P8 through P12 every week, whoever your driver is who's in that range, because it is the most fun you'll have on a race weekend like last race weekend.
Heck yeah. Gives you something fun to watch. It's definitely, again, that's why we love fighting. We love, P10 is one of my favorite things to be like trying to predict and going for. So who do you have in P10?
All right, I took a swing here. And I have VB.
Ooh, spicy. I feel like we haven't seen VB in points in a minute.
Yeah, because for most of last season, the Filet Mignon team, like formerly known as Alfa Romeo, was not very good. I think that Zhou Guanyu showed that the car had some decent pace. We are going to a completely different track, but I would be shocked, just because of the nature of F1, if we get back-to-back weeks where the top five teams don't have a single DNF. So I was feeling like one of the back of the grid four might get some points. And somehow I just kind of landed on, I felt like VB.
It's the final lap hitting every F1 garage. Get ready for this week's Yellow Sector Notes.
So if you're new to Gridwalk, this is the segment where normally we give you one interesting note for every team on the grid. And if you didn't quite get the vibe, I'm a little grumpy. And if we didn't talk about something on the rest of the show this week, probably because I don't feel like talking about it. And I think we all need some positive vibes. So I'm going to run you through some of my favorite general sports stories that happened this week. Ending with a very important note that Nicole and I will both talk about, and none of this will be relevant to F1 or actually even racing in any way. So here are the things that made me happy in sports this week. The Philadelphia Philly star pitcher Wheeler signed a massive extension. He's going to be here for many more years, throwing the pitches very fast. Go Phillies. It is rumored and pretty well sourced that the man who's responsible for the greatest play in Philadelphia Eagles history, Brandon Graham, who won us the Super Bowl by sacking and stripping the ball from Tom Brady. I love him. He is coming back for another year. We're so happy. Yay, BG! In un-Philadelphia-related news, Caitlin Clark broke the college basketball record for the most points ever scored. And if you like are also like marketing, like go look at all the incredible stuff Nike has been doing for Caitlin Clark. It has been unbelievable.
Oh yes. My god.
The billboards, incredible. And ending this off, this didn't make me happy this week, but I would like to take this moment to talk about Jason Kelce, who announced his retirement after many, many years as the Philadelphia Eagles center. I don't know of a man who more represents Philadelphia sports fandom. You probably, if you're listening to this, might have heard of him because his brother is dating Taylor Swift. And that is great and all. And I do like that most of the world now knows who the former center of the Philadelphia Eagles is. Like, the fact that there are people in Europe who now know who used to play center of the NFL team that I love with my whole heart, if you can't tell from my background on YouTube. I did lots of crying this week because Jason Kelce is like Philadelphia sports to me. And I'm happy that he's going to go do fun things that he wants to do and, you know, be able to be with his wife and kids. But I am sad. So thank you, Jason Kelce, for so much Eagles football and happiness and joy. And that's all I can say, because I'm sad.
Yeah, it's a very bittersweet thing. One of my favorite things about Jason Kelce as like a human and not just as an athlete is that he just so clearly gets it. I mean, like, there's every outlet that's like talking about him understanding like what it means to play sports as an athlete in Philadelphia, but something as like someone who is like does not live in Philadelphia and like is outside of that bubble can like very much say that Jason Kelce understands what it is to be like a dedicated sports fan, and that he also has respect for the people that like are dedicated sports fans. And I think it's so very easy for like athletes or anyone to like not attempt to understand that and like the impact that sports have on like different people's lives. And one of the greatest things about Jason is that he like
understands the impact that it has on everyone and like just what a difference. And you don't get a lot of humans, let alone centers like Jason Kelce. So that was a hard one. It's gonna, if you haven't watched his retirement speech, like it's what every athlete or every person like should like definitely take in at least once.
But more importantly, you should watch his Super Bowl parade speech.
Watch the retirement speech be sad and then go watch the Super Bowl speech to like be like, yes!
Because I can't tell you the number of times since that happened in 2018 that I have like screamed, "We are Philly, bleepin' Philly," which I would curse if we weren't on the podcast right now. No one likes us, we don't care. Like, it is so unbelievably iconic and so Philly that it's just my whole heart. That's the end of a generation of Eagles players for me, which is wild. So lots of fun stuff going on in sports. And I promise I will be back with an actual Yellow Sector Notes last week. Thank you all for indulging me with my mostly Philadelphia-based list of fun things that happened this
week. And thank you, Jason Kelce. And this has been
a grumpy grid, and also grid goodbye, Jason Kelce, not a grid walk.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Gridwalk. Thank you to our co-creators, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein. Thank you to our four-legged executive producers and me, VoiceOver Man. Don't forget to subscribe, like the video, turn on auto downloads, and leave a review to provide us with a fresh set of tires for the next week's show. You can follow us on social media at Gridwalk Show for daily content. We will be back to walk the Formula One grid every Thursday, and we will see you for the post-Gridwalk debrief in the comments.